We had a good time last night. We went up with a bunch of good Christian folk up there in Woodlawn, and we got singing with the crowd and got singing this song. And I just think about how good it is to live in the greatest country on earth. And y'all have heard it, but I tell you, I think it fits this morning. I've been blessed.
When he moves among us in all that he does,
yes,
all of his mercy,
oh, yeah,
and all of his love, if the pen of a writer,
yeah, come on,
write every day,
amen,
even this world would never. Shoulder to lean on,
yes,
when I am. is me.
Not just a song.
Not just that song.
The reason I sing.
The reason I sing.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I want to mention, while we're getting our Bibles open, that we will be having prayer meeting today at 5:30. If you still believe in your country, and you believe God would help us with our kids this week, come at 5:30 this evening, and we're going to pray. Church starts at 6. Listen, our country is in the worst mess it's ever been. And if God's people don't get back where we need to be, it's shot. So we can do our part. You can't just sit around and talk about how bad everything is. We're going to meet here at 5:30 today and pray. Could you come and pray 15 minutes for your nation and for the kids getting ready to come to camp? 5:30 this evening, and then 6 o'clock, I've got a special message on how to get your prayers answered tonight. And that'll get us ready for youth camp. So, girls, we do have some ladies brought some clothes. I think they're in my office. Some girls, some of them don't even have clothes to wear to camp. Some of our bus kids, and they're in my office. We can get you fixed up with them. If any of you ladies have skirts that you no longer wear, something like that, want to give them to some of these kids. Some of them, a lot of them don't have clothes to buy or nothing to play in. One set of clothes. We visited some yesterday that you just would not believe the pitiful shape some of them's in. Now, you might not believe that, but come out this Saturday and we'll take you to our house. And you bring something tonight if you've got some skirts or dresses, something that they might could wear. 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. I want us to look here at a verse of Scripture in the Bible, and then I want to bring you just a little thought this morning, real quickly. Normally, I would preach a message on America. That's not what I'm preaching on today. I'm preaching on how to grow in grace. How to grow in grace. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I want to preach on how to grow in grace. Our attendance is growing, but are our attenders growing? That's the thought this morning. You ought to be more mature in the Lord this morning than you were this time last year or year before that. Some people seem to be going backwards spiritually. Some Christians are like a wasp. They're bigger right after they're saved than any other time of their life. You know, the Bible talks about being born again. But when the Bible talks about being born again, it don't use that terminology by accident. It talks about when you're saved, you are born like a little baby again. So that means spiritually you are a brand new baby and you start out all new and fresh. The night I got saved up there at Nebo Baptist Church, I became a newborn babe in Christ. That means I had to start right there and begin to grow spirit, just like any other baby. You mamas in here got babies. All of us have been around babies. You've helped take care of babies. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. There's so much similarity between an infant in the flesh and a spiritual baby in Christ, physical and spiritual. As a matter of fact, the same rules apply to growing spiritually as would going physically. You should not stay a baby. If you stay a baby, something's wrong with you. Let me find me one of them, little bitty ones back there in the nursery, but let me find me one here that won't pitch a fit. Will he pitch a fit if I get him? He's my buddy right here. You're going to be good today, ain't you? All right. See this little dude right here? What's his name? Xavier. Who in the world? Name somebody start with X. You'll be the last one in line your whole life. Go eat and everything. Poor little thing. Look at him. Now, what if I told you this morning, everybody, here's my buddy, Xavier. He's one of our deacons, and he just celebrated his 34th birthday. Xavier is 34 today. That's all saying. You'd say, oh my goodness. Oh gosh. He's 34? What is wrong with that? Oh my goodness. Did you see that little guy at church? He wasn't a midget. There's something bad. Would you think there's something wrong with him if I said he's 34? Okay. You know why? Because you expect a kid to grow. You expect him to be able to talk and walk. They're still having to take care of him. They still have to carry him in and out. Now he's crying. Jim mean. And you know what? I took him, and if I said Xavier is 34 years old, you'd say, well, that's ridiculous. And yet, I mean, there's a man's pastor of the church. Brother Derek's pastor of the church. Other guys, Brother Dusty's pastor of the church. Other guys that preach. We have to deal with people every day that are this big physically and that big spiritually. Amen? We have to deal. You know what caused trouble in churches? We got people that have been saved 40 years and think and act and talk and operate like a newborn baby in Christ. That's why they fuss and fight and argue and get mad over because they didn't get the Sunday school class they want to get, or they get mad because they didn't get to sing their song, or the piano's on one side and they think it ought to be on the other side. You should not stay a babe in Christ. Now listen, this is everybody in here this morning. I want to say several things about it. I'm going to be really quick because we got a lot to do. Number one, a baby has to have daily food. And I mean daily. They have to eat every day and even several times a day. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The Bible is called milk, it's called meat, it's called bread, it's called water. It's a balanced diet. It's got honey, it's got your dessert, it's got everything right in here. Everything you need to grow spiritually is in this book right here. Now, the reason the devil don't want you to believe it or read it is the same reason a person wouldn't want a child to grow. If I didn't want that kid to grow, cut his food out. But if I give him bread, and I give him milk, and then when he gets a little bit bigger, we give him meat, and then we give him water, and he's growing. He's growing. He's growing. Just like we got that rain yesterday. Man, I got up this morning, it looked like my grass growed that much overnight. That water made that grass grow. And what you need to do is remember, you got to have daily food. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just cut to the chase here and cut out part of this. For you that left your Bible laying in your car all week long and never touched it and had to ask, where's my Bible at Sunday? You ain't growed a bit this week. And you're not going to. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. I'm old fashioned. I believe you ought to read every word in the Bible. If it's God's Word, we ought to read it. If it's food to our soul, we ought to read it. I'm talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Kings, right on through. We got people here that read the Bible all the time. I read my Bible every day. Every day when I first get up, like when you go eat, I read my Bible. You feed that body every day, you ought to feed your soul every day. That's why your body looks like this pulpit and your soul looks like this microphone stand. You're a spiritual anorexic, brother. You're not eating. You're not eating. Yeah, it's going to get worse, so you might as well just buckle your seatbelt. Some of y'all sitting there about to have a heart attack already. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. You've got, your soul has to have God's Word. I didn't say a book about the Bible, I said the Bible. I didn't say a song about the Bible, I said the Bible. You've got to have the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. I believe every word of it. I believe it's all inspired. I believe every jot, every tittle. I believe you got to get the sense of it. I believe you ought to get the commas in the right place and everything. I heard about this woman the other day. She was real rich and she was in another country. And she sent her husband a message that said, "Found beautiful bracelet. May I buy it?" He said, "How much is it?" She sent a message back. She said, $75,000. She said, "I really want it. May I have it?" He sent her a message back. And the message that he sent back to her was, price too high. They said he had no price too high. No, comma, price too high. And he left out the comma. So the message was, no price too high for you, baby. That's the way she took it. She took it like, I ask you, baby, no price too high for you. And she bought it. Now, you know what that was from? A comma in the wrong place. Did you know there's been people killed and wars started because people got one word wrong out of this book or took it out of context? There's been people killed. You've got to get it right. You don't just read the Bible. You get it right. You don't just pick up a chainsaw and go sling it around. You learn how to use it. You learn how to cut the tree down. It can be a blessing. It's a double-edged sword. It's the Word of God. You've got to have Bible in your heart. You need to learn about the fall of man. You need to learn about the depravity of man. My wife can tell you, if you don't, and my girls can tell you. Anybody else? Everything that happens, we got some verse of Scripture. I mean, if you're tired of hearing the Scripture, you don't want to hang around somebody that believes it and reads it every day. It don't matter what it is. The Bible said this. The Bible said that. It's just like all this stuff been going on in our country this week. Everywhere I've been this week, and I've talked to a lot of people, everybody says, "Oh my goodness, Brother Danny, I just can't believe what's happening." I mean, they had the Dukes of Hazzard jumping over the White House and rebellion, and they had the White House turn 3 or 4 different colors, and everybody's fighting and fussing, saying we've got our rights and we got our beliefs, and they're all talking about the legalization of same-sex marriages and everything. And I know people, and I'm that way too, buddy. I mean, if that ain't a sign, brother, I ain't never seen one. But you know what? If you believe the Bible, why would we be surprised? The Lord said that's what's going to happen. He said it's going to happen, people. We ought not say, "Oh my goodness, I had no idea." We ought to be shocked if it don't happen. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's going to get worse. How's that for a prophet of gloom? I'm not a prophet of gloom. We got the uplook and it's looking good. The Lord's coming back and that's a positive outlook. But down here, brother, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. We shouldn't let that surprise us. We shouldn't say, "Oh my goodness, I never thought it." He said, the Lord said, there's two major signs. There's two major signs that He's coming back. One, as the days of Noah. The other, as it was the days of Lot. Them two signs. Are we shocked that it's happening? Of course it's going to happen. He said that it was. What was the days of Noah? Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Ain't nothing wrong with neither one of them unless they're abused. Eating and drinking, everybody, their gods, their belly. And then marrying and giving in marriage, no morality. Marriage vows mean nothing anymore. And the days of Lot, you can read Genesis 19. The homosexuals, sodomites, as the Bible terminology, the Bible said they was there, and they were beating the doors down. They didn't just say, "Accept us. We have a right to do this." They're saying, "You're going to do it and cooperate with us. If not, we'll knock your doors over and take what we want." Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, Read Genesis 19 real slow when you get home this evening. Look where it said they wanted to have a sexual relation with angels. And then go back to Genesis 6 where the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And then look at Hollywood and see Edward and Twilight and zombies and vampires and sexual relationships. That's all in the Bible, people. I'm telling you, we've got to have it to grow, and we ought to shout because God knew what He's talking about and foretold the future ahead of time. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at what's going on. Lord, have mercy. We ought to know about all of this stuff. You got to have daily food. And then I'm going to say, secondly, this morning, you got to have fresh air. Kids got to have fresh air. You know what fresh air is? You ever been in a fire? You ever been where somebody burning a big old pile of brush or something? Man, that smoke gets up your nose and you think you can breathe and you inhale that smoke. It's awful. It's awful. As a matter of fact, they say a lot of people in big buildings that catch on fire actually die from smoke inhalation before the fire ever gets to them. That happens many times. And you know what, brother? It's smoky. And you know what that's a picture of? Your prayer life. Your prayer life. Prayer is like breathing to your soul. I breathe from my body. I've got to have oxygen. Your soul has to have oxygen, and it's called praying. You've got to talk to the Lord. Come out of the smoke. Get out of the smoke of this world. Get out of the smoke of evolution and sin and wickedness and lifestyle. Get out the MTV crowd and the 16 and pregnant shows and the filthy life of so-and-so and on and on and on. And get in your prayer closet and say, Dear Lord, and feel that oxygen come into your soul. You've got to pray to grow spiritually. Amen. We can and should pray about everything. Amen. That's right. All right, let me say thirdly this morning. I got to hurry. I'm talking about exercise. Every child needs to exercise. In school, we used to call it recess when we was little. I don't think I call it that no more. Playtime, timeout, physical ed, whatever you want to call it. You get a bunch of kids in a room, and you come up in there and set them like that right there every day, and they're not going to be healthy. You're going to say, we're going outside to play a while. And when you open that door, man, they just take off running wild. And that's what we do at camp. We have a good service in the morning, and then we let them play all evening, go swimming and play basketball and run all over the place, get out some of that energy, and then come back for service at night. You know why? Exercise. Physical exercise. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. You cannot just lay down on the couch and lay there all day long and be healthy physically. There's one thing our generation is going to have on any other generation that's ever been. We're going to have kids with the most healthy thumbs of any generation that's ever been in history. Other than that, we're a bunch of slobs. But son, they can run them thumbs. I've seen this girl. She was texting 90 miles an hour. I can't even move my thumb that fast. And talking to somebody over here. Like, where your thumbs are in good shape. Get that gut out there a little while. Amen. I mean, move them legs. Move them arms. Do something. Do something. You got to exercise. That's why you don't always want to. Y'all know I run. I don't always like it. Sometimes, here's the way it feels. Sometimes when I'm running, it feels like I got lead in my shoes. And every step, I want to quit. Why am I doing this? This is stupid. I hate it. And honestly, that's how it feels. And then other times, it feels like I'm just boom, 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 boom. I'm just bouncing. And you got to do it even when you don't want to. That's the way it is about going to church. That's the way it is about witnessing. That's the way it is about doing something for God. Sometimes you don't want to get out of bed and come to church. Sometimes you don't want to read your Bible. Sometimes you don't want to. That right there is going to determine whether you grow in grace. Make up your mind you're going to do right, even when you don't want to. You are just learning how to be physically fit when you exercise when you don't want to. And I'm saying you're just learning how to grow as a Christian is when you read your Bible and pray and be a witness for God and go to church, even when you don't want to. Any athlete will tell you, you don't just do it when you want to. You do it when you don't want to. If you're going to be fit. Exercise. Amen? That's right. Lordy mercy. I'll say quickly, rest. You'll love this point. We need rest. The only bad thing about being real lazy is you can't never stop and rest. By relying on God, Matthew 11:29 said, "You come to me," the Lord said, "you shall find rest to your soul." Well, I remember kids must learn how to do that. All you mamas go through this. All right, honey, nap time. What do they all say? "I want to take a nap." Come on, honey, nap time. Tell them like I told my girls. They're all three sitting over there. I always tell them, time to lay down. "We're not tired." "I didn't ask you, was you tired?" "Time to lay down. Take a nap." "Daddy, I'm not sleepy." "You don't have to go sleep, but you got to lay down. You got to lay down, you got to close your eyes, and you got to shut up. You got to lay down, you got to close your eyes, and you got to shut up, but you don't have to go to sleep." And they just lay there, okay. "Shut them eyes. Shut them eyes." Well, the kid told his daddy, he said, "I'm laying down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." That's the way we are a lot of times, isn't it? That's the way we are, Lord. We're doing right on the outside, but we're rebelling on the inside. And you know what? I used to tell them, I'd say, "And it won't be long." Say, "I can't go to sleep." Pray for everybody you know. All right. Start praying for everybody you know. Before you get through, you'll be asleep. Now, you know what you got to do? Every once in a while, you have to come apart from all that daily routine and all that junk and paying your bills and mowing your grass and making sure that's took care of and that faucet that's leaking and the roof coming out and the family problem and one of your kids is having marriage trouble or your mama had to go to the hospital. Sometimes you have to just get in the closet and get your Bible open and just get down and read it and let God rest your soul. What I got to do. Now, this week at camp, as soon as they find out what room I'm in, it's every 30 seconds somebody's knocking on my door. I'm in here trying to pray and get ready for the service because services ain't no good. It's wasted all that money and time. "Yes, what do you want?" "Brother Danny, do you know where a toothbrush is?" "No." Bam. 30 seconds later, blam, blam, blam. You say, "Well, why ain't you out there playing with them?" Because if I don't get my spiritual rest and power, then the services ain't going to be what they ought to be. If you could just get what I'm telling y'all right now, if you could just get everybody in here needs to take a day off or an evening off. You're busy. I know you're busy. I am too. But sometimes you got to take that phone off that hook, or better yet, leave it in the other room. Go in the closet. Open your Bible. Stick your nose in that book and read it until God refreshes your soul and gets you back where you need to be spiritually. Rest. Rest. I'll say quickly. Need a clean environment. Every mama in here would agree with that. You need a clean environment. You don't just let your baby sit on the floor and eat off the floor. You don't let your baby, if it goes in there, walk around and getting in the commode and sticking its hand down in the commode. We was visiting one day. We went somewhere. I think it was over toward Lenore somewhere. We was in this house or trailer, and I was sitting down on the couch like this. Little kid sitting over there on the floor. I mean, it was nice. There's one where you had to step over a dead cat going up the steps, and that cat stayed there for weeks. I don't know why they didn't just... It was a sail cat. And when a sail cat's once been run over so many times, you just pick it up and sail it off down in the woods. And that thing laying there, and you had to step over that thing to get in the house. And there's a little old kid sitting over there and had a bowl of Cheerios and all of a sudden, it spilt them Cheerios. And I was sitting over there waiting on the mom coming. We thought, man, a kid started picking them Cheerios out of that carpet. When the hair, dog hair, nasty, and eating them Cheerios out of that carpet. And I mean, listen, I got a strong stomach, brother. There's a dead deer laying in our pond right now, and it's all bloated out, purple and everything. And the kid's going, ugh. Hey, don't bother me. I'm going to throw a rock and see if it'll pop. But I'm telling you, that kid eating them Cheerios out of that carpet about gagged me. I said, oh Lord. I mean, I thought I seen stuff moving in them Cheerios. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. And there ain't a woman here this, ain't a woman in here this morning say, shoot, I wouldn't let my kids, I'm not going to let my, some of you, you're worried about them getting the flu, you're giving them flu shots, you're getting them this, you're protecting them, you're doing everything you can. Well, guess what? You better protect them spiritually. And you got to have a clean environment if you're going to grow. You can't turn HBO on and all, just like sticking your head in a toilet. Y'all listen to me? You teenagers listening to me this morning? I'm your friend. I'm your friend. I'm telling you the truth this morning. You can't watch people jerking their clothes off in perversion and homosexuality and getting drunk and adultery and all that and stay clean. It's impossible. You can't sit around and watch Netflix half the night and expect to stay clean with God. I know some of you older folks, you say, oh, well, we're mature. We can handle it. No, you're just deceived. The devil gets you just as dirty as he will a teenager. It's right. You know it's right. Dirt. Dirt, brother. You wouldn't let your kids play in the commode. That's what rap music is. I used to tell them that all the time. If you listen to rap music, just stick your tongue in the commode. Same thing. You don't like that, do you? Well, it's a truth. Because that music does to your soul what sewage does to your body. It's filthy. It's filthy. Just the music, not even the words. I'm going to tell you this morning, Lord have mercy, we're in a Bible-believing church, y'all. Come on. You know what happened to me out there in the world if I said that? Somebody beat me up or kill me. And some of y'all got that look in your eye. What's wrong with you? Don't you agree that a child ought to be kept in a clean environment? Yes or no? Well, then if your body's got to be kept clean, your soul has to be kept clean. Wash it. Keep it clean. Y'all are sitting there saying, oh my goodness, this is so controversial. Lord have mercy, since when did preaching against being dirty become controversial? Are we that bad off? God help us. Clean. Loving care. I'll say finally, and I'm through. Loving care and public and periodic checkups. You say, oh, my baby's 6 weeks. She's got to go for a 6-week checkup. She's got to go for a 1-year checkup. She has to go to the dentist. She has to go here. She has to go there. She has to go. I have to take them for the checkup to make sure they're all right. I have to make sure they're all right. Listen, that's why you need to take them to church. Take them to church on Wednesday at night to make sure they're where they need to be. Take them to Sunday school and get them. Listen, hey, parents, get your kids in the Sunday school class. It's getting them in there. Get them keep them clean. Let them hear the Word of God. Lord, have mercy, brother. If you want them to grow in grace, get them around a good doctor that'll help them with their periodic checkups. I'm going to tell you this story, and I'm through here. I'm going to skip some of this. Come back tonight. Listen, teenagers. Over in the rebellion in China, they had all these Christian kids, had 100 of them, and they had them locked up. And they said, we're locking every door in this place except one. One door and one way out of here. In front of that door, we're going to lay down a cross. If you'll step on that cross and disrespect it, the world's free. Go live your life however you want to. Step on that cross. 100 young people lined up that day. The first one, guys sitting there with guns like this. First one looked at them guns, looked out there at the freedom, said it ain't worth it. Stepped on the cross and went out. Second one looked at that gun, looked out there and saw the freedom, stepped on the cross and walked out and went free. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. The 8th was a teenage girl. When that teenage girl stepped up there that day, she looked at that gun, she looked at her freedom, and she looked at that cross. And she had been taught right. And she'd been to Sunday school, been to church. And she thought, that's what Jesus did for me. He loved me. And she knelt down and said, I won't step on the cross. And they shot her. And 91 more followed her example and stood for the Lord. 91 more. They said, if she can do it, we can do it. All right, people. I'm going to tell you all this and we're going to let you go. We've been hearing for years how bad it is in other countries. there ain't no telling what we're going to see right here in America before this thing's over with. And if you ain't strong enough and you ain't right enough, you'll give in when the pressure really gets on. In other countries, right now, you can have your head cut off for believing what I've preached here this morning. In other countries, I would be put in prison for the message that I preached this morning. That's big talk from a little guy like me, and I'm nothing special. I hope God give me grace when it comes to it that I'll stand for Him. The only way you're going to do that is stay faithful, keep growing. You can't flirt with the world all the time and then stand when testing time comes. Lordy mercy, 50 shades of manure knock some of y'all out. What are you going to do when they threaten to hurt you? What are we going to do when it really gets bad? Air conditions out on churches, they call service off here in America. What are we going to do when it really gets bad? I hope and pray we don't have to see that. I hope and pray the rapture comes today. But if it don't, what are we going to do when it comes our turn? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eyes closed.